So we come now to the Lord's table. And lest there be any misunderstanding, the Scriptures do not teach that we're saved by eating this bread and drinking this cup. Rather, that this is a memorial or a reminder or a celebration of the Lord Jesus' body and blood that was torn on the cross and that He shed to make atonement for us. And in the text we read in John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, Christ as the bread of life was not suggesting some form of spiritual cannibalism, that those who partake of His body, who eat His flesh, as He said, drink His blood in a few verses later, that somehow there is some magical process to this. But rather what He is articulating is the fact that our life, our everlasting life, is provided by the death that He died, by the surrendering up of His flesh and of His blood to make an atonement for us. And that in His very body and blood shed for us is all the hope we have for remission of our sin, cleansing from unrighteousness, peace with God, reconciliation to the Judge of all the world, and the promise of everlasting life. To partake of Christ's flesh and blood is to trust in the promise that He made to us, founded upon the offering He made for us, that He would forgive us our sins, remit all the judgment, and raise us up in the last day. Because when He promises to raise up His people in the last day, implicit in that is the remittance of sin. Because death is the judgment for sin. Christ could only take away the judgment and bring us into everlasting life because He took all that judgment upon Himself in His body on the tree. He interposed His body between His loved ones and the wrath of God that we should have received. He was made sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In that sense, the Lord's table is a remembrance, a celebration of what Christ did one time when He went to the cross and made an offering in our place for our crimes. In that sense, the Lord's table is an analogy, a fulfillment of the type of the Passover feast that all the Jews celebrated, and I guess they do till to this day. The slaying of the lamb in the Passover celebration is not a sacrifice to take away sin. It's a feast, a memorial of the original Passover, where the blood was seen by the death angel, and God passed over all the houses that were marked by the blood of the Passover lamb, and would not suffer the death angel to enter in at the door. And so that was the prototypical, if you will, sacrifice for sin that pointed to Christ's sacrifice. And the subsequent celebrations of the Passover merely pointed back to and reminded the people of that miraculous redemption that was made of the people of Israel. And so too this memorial is not a representing of Christ, as the Roman Catholic heresy would say. It has no saving power. It doesn't take away sin. It's a celebration, a remembrance of the offering that did take away sin, the one made by Christ. And I've been thinking the last couple of days, this sort of stray thought went through my head like a cosmic ray, I suppose, about the free will offerings of the Old Testament. And the observation that there are sacrifices that we are prohibited from. Have you ever thought of that? There are sacrifices to God that the believer is not permitted to make. How heretical that sounds. But it comes from the fact that there were sacrifices which the Lord Jesus was not permitted to make. You think about the sacrifices, and I'm not going to go all C.H. McIntosh on us today. Don't consider myself to have complete knowledge of this, but there were many sacrifices. There were five or six types of sacrifices that were laid forth in the Old Testament. You had the sin offering, you had the trespass offering, you had burnt offerings, you had peace offerings, which could also be burnt offerings, and you had grain offerings. And some of these labels overlap, but you either had the offerings that were required by the law because of sin, or you had offerings that were entered into voluntarily, free will offerings. They could be peace offerings, they could be burnt offerings, they could be grain offerings. But if you sinned or if you trespassed, you were required to make a sin offering or a trespass offering. And then, of course, many of these were personal offerings, and then there were national offerings which were made on the Day of Atonement and on various feast days and so forth. And in those cases, the blood was taken inside the Holy of Holies. And in the instances where the blood was taken inside the Holy of Holies, none of the sacrifice could be eaten. It was all to be burnt and destroyed, immolated on the altar unto God. Have you ever thought that the Lord Jesus was not permitted to offer for Himself a sin offering or a trespass offering? And the simple reason is because He never sinned and He never trespassed. The only people who could offer a sin offering or a trespass offering for themselves were the people who had sinned or who had trespassed. So if the Lord Jesus ever made any animal sacrifices, remember one was made for Him at His dedication by His parents. Two turtle doves. Because they were too poor to offer up a lamb. And yet they were offering up the lamb, weren't they? Praise God. But the Lord Jesus in His own person was never permitted to make a sin offering or a trespass offering because He didn't qualify because He had no sin. Remember, He could even confront His enemies. Which of you convicts me of sin? And they're struck speechless and dumb. And at His trial, the only crime they could convict Him of was the crime of truthfully stating that He was and is Messiah, which was no crime at all because it was the truth. It was the only thing they could come up with. Even the witnesses that they brought disagreed with each other. But the Lord Jesus could only make free will offerings. He couldn't make for His own person an offering for sin or an offering for trespass. And yet, He made a sin offering for His people. Christ died for our sins. He said He came into this world to be a ransom for many. He said at the Lord's table that this is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for many for the remission of sin. So He made Himself an offering for sin, a sin offering, if you will, while throughout His life He was not permitted to make a sin offering or a trespass offering for Himself. So you see, the offering that Christ made for us, the sin offering He made for us, was at the same time a offering for sin and a voluntary free will offering. At the same time, think about that. There was never a time when an Israelite could make an offering for sin and it be a free will offering. Why? Because the law commanded it. Well, when Christ took our sins upon Himself, God's law commanded that He make an offering for sin. And yet, for Jesus, it was free will. The Lord Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it up again. No man taketh it from me. This have I received by the commandment of my Father. So in the Lord Jesus, for one time for all eternity, there is conjoined the mandatory sin offering for the sin of His people and the free will gift of an offering for sin that our Lord Jesus made. And now, think about the implication of this for us. Because Christ made Himself, by His own free will, an offering for our sin, He has forever banished us. We're forever barred from ever making a sin offering for ourselves, aren't we? Why? Because there is no sin in us to make a sin offering for. You remember what the writer of Hebrews said? It said that Christ came to make an offering to purge away sin when all the sacrifices of the animals could never take away sin. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering often the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now the logical conclusion of this is that therefore the saints are forever barred from making a sin offering for themselves, because Christ has already forever cleansed, forever perfected them that are sanctified. In fact, you read down a few more verses and you'll see that what I just said isn't a logical inference. It's what the clear teaching of Scripture is. Verse 18 of Hebrews 10. Now where remission of sin is, there is no more offering for sin. Christ could never make an offering for His own sin, for He had none. And whoever has put their trust in the Lord Jesus is forever barred from making an offering for his sin, my sin, your sin, the believer's sin. Why? Because Jesus made the last offering for sin. He made it of His own free will. So you see, we're barred from offering anything for our sin. And this is the knockout punch to any notion that our own good works can save us. We can't offer up our good works as acts of righteousness for our own redemption. Why? We're not allowed to make an offering for sin, whether it be a work, an animal, martyrdom, asceticism, you name it. We're not permitted to make offerings for sin because there is no more offering for sin for those who've trusted in Jesus' offering, because He's taken away our sin. So what are we left with? We're only allowed to make free will offerings. Free will offerings out of grateful hearts. Grateful hearts for what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Grateful hearts for how He took away our sin. Grateful hearts for how He barred us forever from offering up anything for our sin. In Hebrews 13, there is a little discussion of this fact, that we are permitted to partake of the offering that Christ made. We have an altar, the writer says, of which they who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. You remember I told you that the sacrifices where the blood was taken behind the veil were burnt completely. There was nothing left to eat. You see, those offerings that could never take away sin, once they were made, there was nothing left to sustain the people. They started right back sinning again, started accruing the need for another offering, and they had to repeat those offerings over and over again. And once the animal was sacrificed and the blood was taken into the Holy of Holies, that animal was over and done with. It had no value anymore. They had to go find another animal, and another, and another, and another. And so you see, those offerings, there was nothing for them to partake of. There was no life in them. But the offering Jesus made, which took away our sin, we have a right to partake of it by faith. And it brings us life. It is our life for all eternity. It's the offering that though it was made once, yet the value and purpose of it persists unto everlasting life to all those who have a right to partake of it, as Christ said, to partake of Him as the bread of life. But then look what it says. To Him, therefore, verse 15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to share, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We have the right to make free will offerings to God. We have the right to do it. We're called upon to do it. Our praise is a free will offering. Our kindness to the brethren is a free will offering. Our support for the ministry is a free will offering. Everything we, every act of kindness we perform in Jesus' name is a free will offering. And we're exhorted to multiply free will offerings unto God with grateful hearts because of what Jesus did for us. And when we come around this table, we remember what Jesus did. And we praise and thank God for the fact that Jesus has barred us from ever making an offering for our sin. Because where remission of sin is, through Christ's blood, there is no more offering for sin. So aren't you glad that you're not allowed to make a sin offering? In that sense, you see, we follow in Christ's footsteps. He could only make a sin offering in the place of His people. But it was free will. And because we've been cleansed of all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus, we who've trusted in Him, we now are only permitted to make free will offerings. And we joyfully do so. And we will continue to do so for all eternity. Think of those saints in glory who crowd around the Lamb who had been slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and glory and riches and power and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He was slain for the sin of His people. And He redeemed us to God by His blood. Out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, praise God. So we're around this table to make a free will offering to the Lord. Let not ever cross our minds that we are here making a sin offering. Because we're not. There is no more offering for sin. What we're doing is remembering how Jesus took away our sin by His faithfulness as God's Lamb. Abraham told his son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And praise God, in Jesus Christ, He did. And that's why Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham saw through the eye of faith that sacrifice for sin that Christ would make that would finally and forever settle the problem of the sin of God's people, that would take away sin and spare all of His people from the judgment. And if you have trusted in Jesus, and if you have laid hold of the sacrifice, as if you placed your hand on the head of Christ and cried out, God, judge my crimes in Your dear Son, that I might go free. The Lord has said that He has forgiven us and cleansed us and promised us everlasting life and glory. I'd like to ask Brother Witten if he'd give thanks for the bread that pictures the body of Christ broken for us. The Scriptures tell us that on the night our Lord Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He blessed it and He broke it. And He said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's give thanks for the cup that pictures the blood of the Lord Jesus shed. Make atonement for our crimes. O God, our Father, we rejoice that You have loved us and that You have shown Your tender mercy to us by finding for us a lamb to be slain in our place and for our sins. And that lamb is Your dear Son, the Lord Jesus. And it was the purpose of the incarnation that He might be clothed with a body of human flesh in which he might make an offering for sin, that our crimes must be judged in his humanity and in the cruelty of men against him at Calvary. And yet the greatest pain he suffered was the judgment that you rained down upon him in our place. You took all of our judgment, poured it out upon your dear son at Calvary. And he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And he poured out his blood to make an atonement for us. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And we thank you that in Christ was found the perfect Lamb to be slain for us. In Christ was found that one, that only one, whom your soul loved, who was well pleasing to you, and who could forever purge the guilt of your people and make us clean and new. Give us peace with you. And now through the blood of Christ we have boldness to come before you with exceeding joy, knowing that you receive us for Jesus' sake, knowing that you have accepted us into your holy presence, clothed in the righteousness of Christ and not in our own filthy rags. And Lord, we pray you would give to each of us strength in your Son, that those who feel weak, and those who feel downcast, and those who feel confused, those who feel sorrowful, who have trusted in Jesus, would find strength and what Christ did, lay hold of the salvation that he has wrought for us. Lay hold of the promises that he made, that he wouldn't lose a single one of us, but will raise us up in the last day. Lay hold of the promises that he made, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That we might lay hold of the promise he made to us at the Lord's table, that one day soon he'll drink this cup with us new in his Father's house, around his Father's table. Help us to look forward to that day when we'll see the Redeemer with our own eyes, when we'll be transformed into his likeness finally at long last, when you'll take away all sin and suffering and sighing and sorrow and sickness and death, when we'll finally be in a place wherein dwells righteousness. Lord, help us to see a vision of what he has promised us as we gather around this table, and bless this cup to our remembrance and to our celebration, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The scriptures tell us after they had supped that he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Drink ye all of it, this cup is the new covenant in my blood for the remission of sin. Do it as often as ye do it in remembrance of me." And the scriptures tell us that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do preach the Lord's death until he comes. Let's stand and sing number 188 in the black book, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Lord of Glory Died, My Richest Gain I Count But Loss and Pour Contempt on All My Pride." And I call to your mind that verse that's not included, that Isaac Watts wrote, "His dying crimson, like a robe, spread o'er his body on the tree. And I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me." 188.